So, Alan, I have Lisa Hacia, and you know of her. I've spoken to you about her. I don't know if you have an appointment to interview her, but she's a wonderful woman. I have her on the phone, and I'm going to tell her about the miracle that you are and the miracle we've created. And you'd ask me, you know, tape it sometime. So this is my best effort. So here's what happened, Lisa. In 2012, you know, I do a BWA session. In 2012, it wasn't called that. So a BWA session, people pay $5,000 to come and they just be with me. And I've got four waiting for the coronavirus so they can come here. So they're just four sitting there, and I've had them out 6-8 months in a row waiting, but with no landing. I'm not taking more until we see what we've got. So Alan was doing the equivalent of that, whatever that would be in 2012. When he communicated with me in 2012, he let me know he was 28 years old, that he was from Australia, and that he specialized as a coach. He coached savants, prodigy children, and gifted children. That's his specialty. So if you have a child, that, and you do, Ava, if you had someone that's like way off the charts, they have this man work with the thinking of that person. That's it. That's at 28 years of age. So we set up a time. He comes and meets me. And, you know, he's in a, again, the listener is what gives the power. I wasn't any different than I am any time. I'm always me. I'm expanding, but it's pretty much, I'm consistent of who I am. But the way in which he could hear me, listen me, experience me, I don't know how far into our conversation, he said, Steve, you ought to write a book. And I've said to him and hundreds of people before him, I said, you know, Alan, I will never be writing a book. My book is my life. There's nothing I want to try to teach someone else to do or live. I want to be the example of that. I don't want something that's not me, that's written about some puffery thing. And I said, I got a lot of clients who write books about themselves and they don't live that life. And so I won't ever be doing that. And then to some people, that just sounds like, oh, yeah, come on. You get a book, you get famous. And so I said, no, I won't ever be writing a book. So we had a great experience together. We had our experience, which isn't anyone else's. People think, wow, it's going to be the same kind of experience. No, it's as different as whoever's sitting with me. So he goes away back to Australia. And I could have the dates a little off because, you know, I can't remember all the dates. But I think it was early 2013 that he decided to write a book, and he wanted to put his experience of me in the book. So he sent me either a copy of the manuscript or email of the chapter and said, is this okay? And I said, certainly. And then he sent me a hard copy of the book, and I have a bunch of those where people have written something about me, you know, four dozen. And I said, then another experience, and we would communicate, but it wouldn't be like, this wouldn't be my best friend. It's a guy I know is here, and we would communicate occasionally. So it's not like someone, were, like he's tight with me or I'm tight with him, but we both have great respect, but there's not a ton of communication, but it's not like we never spoke. So on different multiple occasions, I think he wrote another book, and I don't remember if he put something about me in it, but I think we had a second experience like that or something similar. And then on occasion, we would email each other or something. And I believe I sent someone his way, and I always respect him. So when I see Alan D. Thompson, whenever I'd see communication, I'd always light up. And sometimes I think I would tag him on certain posts. And so there was a relationship going on, but over there, he was quite moved by whatever he'd experienced. So he's kind of keeping an eye on me. And however that goes, you know, I have a lot of people that I, on Facebook, and they act like they know me because they've read stuff, and I'm just my Facebook page is just like an open journal. That's not an advertising place. It's just I just share what's going on. So I'll just say somehow maybe five different occasions in some way form I let him know I wouldn't be writing a book, and on April 19th, that's not even a month ago, is it? No, it's not even a month ago. On April 19th, I wake up. I go over to my computer, and there is a email from Alan Thompson, Alan D. for David Thompson, and it starts something like this, and I'm going to just give it plus or minus a percentage. It's written, and it's going to be part of what he's doing, so he's got it verbatim because he wrote it, but it says something like this. And it says what he says, and I heard some other things. So what I heard was, I've been nudged by God to write a biography on your life. And now the actual words he wrote may be different than that, but that's what I read. I mean, that's what I felt. And then I was in the office with my wife and I kind of laughed. I said, this guy, this Alan from Australia, he's wanting to write a biography. He said, hey, I don't need a book. I don't need a biographer. I don't need a biography for sure. And then I read the next three lines and it's like, this guy's dead serious. So I communicated with him so we could get on the phone. I was going to try to talk him off the cliff. You know, like, what are you doing? Okay. You don't need to do this. This is like wild. So we had a conversation and my real conversation with him and the details of that conversation, he would know better than I was because he's, you know, I'm about as sharp as a bowling ball compared to this guy. But what I wanted to know is like, why would you want to do this, Alan? I don't need a biography. I don't need a biographer. I don't need a book. And I certainly don't, I'm not going to go hire somebody to do this. And he said to me something like this, this isn't going to be a problem for me to do. It's trying to write itself through me. And then he told me a few experiences of things he'd collected information and what he's already organized and what he wanted to do. And he says, I just need your nod that it's okay. And if you don't want me to do it, I won't do it. And so we talked for quite a while. And I asked him other questions and I said, so really, why would you want to do that? And he said, because I said, Alan, the reason I wouldn't want to write a book is because the only thing I would ever write the book about is state of being. And the moment you start writing about it, it's not it. It disappears. It becomes the writing about being. The being about being is not about writing about it. Someone sharing with you a document about me is not what they experienced. It's their words about what they experienced. You can never capture the experience. And they can't. Many people say, I don't even know how to describe what happened today. And I said, and the greater the listener is, the less ability they have to describe it. Because other people go, yeah, he said A, B, C, D, but I'm not doing A, B, C, D. And it could sound like A, B, C to somebody who's there. And so I said, so I don't know how you would do this, even if you wanted to do this. And he said to me, I believe I have the capability to get as close as possible to taking language and putting it into a state where someone could get it. And I said, well, I'm not sure that can happen. And he says, he deals with peak performance all the time with these people he works with and with himself. By the way, okay. He's an extraordinary human being. And he said, so I promise you that I will bring peak performance to this biography, that everything in my life will be committed to doing this. And I will do this. And at the end of doing whatever all this work is, if you don't want me to publish it, I will give you the thumb drives on it and you can have it. It's my gift to you. I don't need anything from you, Steve. I want to leave to the world who you are and what's going on. And he said, I believe if I did a book that's X hundred pages long, at the end of that, I would still only get 1% of who you are. And I want the world to get that. Now you got to understand how moving that would be to hear somebody say that about the life I live. And I said, you know, maybe what you ought to do is, you know, sleep on it. You might wake up tomorrow morning and have a different idea. And I acknowledged him I didn't tell him no, but I also didn't tell him yes, but I wanted him to sleep on it. And so I'm guessing the conversation was into the hours that we had. He would know exactly that. I don't know. I have a lot of conversations. And I went to bed. And when I got up early in the morning, it was pretty amazing because I go over to my computer. And I could not believe what I saw on my computer. It was an email with the proposed title of the book. Questions about who would we get to do the cover of the book. And somewhere in one of the conversations, because we had two, who would I want to be to do the foreword of the book? And all three of the people to do the foreword were Iyanla VanSant, Byron Katie, or Werner Erhard. And it was like, this guy's magical about being able to have a letter of introduction to invite somebody to do that. If any of those three got that, you know, two of the three would do it, or one of the three would do it, or even if you send it to somebody who didn't know me, they'd do it. Like, whoever that guy is you're talking about, I want to write that for him. And I'm thinking, how does he capture me in writing so well that when I read it, it makes me cry? And so I'm looking at this, and then I see he has 180 pages of the book done. And he did that from the night before. 180 pages of the book done. And
how's that possible?
And because he's been working on it. It's the same way I do things. I create. I don't sit and think. I do. And he's been doing. And he just needed my okay so we could really explode it. So I look at, he's got outlines. He's got sections of stuff that would be put in, family, early life. He says, he asked me a couple of questions that nobody even knows that exist in my life that he would have to do a little looking around to see. And so I look at this document that he's done, that he sent to me, and I'm just flabbergasted. And then we speak again that day and knock down who could do the cover and what who we talk to and why I would want Iyanla or Katie or maybe how Warner would or wouldn't want to do it and et cetera. And he, Alan D. Thompson, wrote everything up to send it to people, to invite them to do stuff. He's got communication from neighbors. He's interviewed my mission president. He's interviewed mission companions. He's interviewed clients. He's done all of this. And in less than 1 month, he has almost 600 pages of stuff that when I read a story, I'll give you an example. I tell him about that I spoke in a Steve Chandler event, and there's a gal in the event that I knew of her, but I'd never done any work with her, and I just helped her. And he interviewed her, and she told him her experience of me, and I had shared something in Steve Chandler's room. He sends me the next day that written into a chapter, and I'm thinking, I couldn't do that in 3 years. And my wife's an unbelievable writer, and my wife couldn't do that. And he's knocking those out like crazy. Plus, interviewing people. Yesterday, he interviewed two more people. So it's amazing. And he set it all up electronically. I said, I'm concerned that I'm going to overwhelm you with information. He says, you can't. Technically, you can't do that. And I said, what do you mean? And he tells me how Jonathan Kaiser's audio disc or audio tape. He said, when I get Jonathan Kaiser's audio, I put it on equipment. It transcribes it. I sort it where I need it to go. So one day I sent him several hundred text messages that are like just generic, where a client would say, hey, you're not a bad dude. I kind of like you. And he has those all sorted and put in places. One day I sent 400, 400, or in a 2 day period, 400 emails, because I get emails from all over of appreciation. They're just sitting in my computer. And he had those where he could comment and have a conversation with me about them. I couldn't process. He's a genius. And so as I'm talking to him or I'm looking at this and we speak, somehow I just said, let's go, man. And not only has he been going, I sent him a text, and this is what the text says. I'm plus or minus. I'm not reading from the text. I said, Alan, the first major proof that I know that God knows me and loves me is that I was in London, England. I'd never been to Arizona in my life. And I went for a weekend to go to Arizona. My mom had moved to Arizona, and I wasn't planning on that. I was going to live in Utah where I grew up. And I said, I go to Arizona and I speak for the weekend, and a guy in an audience comes up and invites me to meet Amy. And I'll just give you that short pit. He knows the whole details of it. So that, and then after I asked her to marry me before I kissed her, and then several weeks later, I was going to be here a weekend. I drive away and she's still in high school, and I write her by mail and I marry her. It's the greatest thing that ever happened. I said, Alan, the second greatest thing to prove that there's a God is there's a man, he's prepared to write about my life when I didn't need my life written about. And that's you. And I sent him that text. Then after this has been going for a while, I shared with one of my clients, Scott Parker. I was telling him about Alan D. Thompson and all he's doing. And I loved the man with all my heart. I was telling Scott, and he said, Steve, slow down. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're talking to this guy like he's some guy that's the only guy in the world that serves like that. And I said, Scott, I've never experienced this. He said, this is how every one of your clients feels, Steve. He said, you are experiencing being served by yourself. And I began crying with my friend Scott Parker. Then, this is a short version of a story. There's a guy I've not met yet that's had four near-death experiences. He's paraplegic, and I've been working with him. I blind him up with a girl. I didn't know he knew her, and they liked each other, but I kind of hooked it together by having conversations with the two of them to see, hey, you guys are really in love. And she's a 10. He's a paraplegic in a wheelchair, and she's a twin sister of one of my clients' wives. And I read his book, and he has so many experiences of being with God, about to die, and God says, no, you need to stay, that I was sharing, and I still haven't seen him to this day. I spent time with him on the phone a lot of time. And I called him to tell him about this Alan D. Thompson. And this guy's really just mellow. He's like, he's had every experience you could have. There would be nothing that would surprise him in life. A light bolt of lightning could hit him, and he'd just like, okay, what do I need to do to stay alive? And should I? And how can I be? And who will I meet? And I tell him, and he says, his name is Brandon Sulzer, S-U-L-Z-E-R. And if you want to get a book that'll blow your mind, get his book called We Are All Paralyzed and read it. Or get it on Audible. It's about a two-hour listen. It'll blow your mind. So I'm telling him, and he says, Steve, can I say something to you? And I said, sure. He said, now you know I've had some experiences with God, and you know I've had brushes with death, and I know the voice of God, and I know I'm supposed to still be alive. I want you to know that God knows you, Steve, and he knows you were never going to write a book. And I want you to know that God knows you, and he knows there's a guy in Australia named Alan D. Thompson that would write the book. God has prepared him to write your biography. Well, I cried just like I did with Scott Parker. And it's like, it has literally been that. And Alan D. Thompson, in the way in which he has done things, and he's run into a couple little buzzsaws with somebody due to being unhappy or whatever, and he has written unbelievable communications. He's juggled balls. He's dialed me in so I can watch the manuscript as it goes. So it's like I see live stuff while he's doing it, and I could go read what he's added today. I read this story that this one gal, I told you that, interviewed with him, and I read it, and I can't even get through it. I cry through it because it's like, how could anyone capture that? So that's that. And let me kind of just read to you the last thing that I've got physically here, and I've had conversations with him. But on May 11th, so what are we on today? I don't know. At 2020, 6:07 a.m. This is an email I'm reading directly from that's from Alan D. Thompson to Steve Hardison. And the email says, you can count on me, guaranteed. That's 100% commitment, completely fused to 100% integrity. You can count on, I will be completing your biography, and it is already a masterpiece. You can count on, whatever experience you've had with others who let you down, that's not me. I am here now, and I'm reinforcing your magic to the world. That's all in bold letters. Then he says, I already know you won't deuce me. And that's a kind of a created thing, like you won't shit on me. You know, a deuce is a deuce. So that's that's one way I can read that to you that'll make sense. Okay. You can also count on, I see your integrity, and I know enough about who you are to trust the process of writing and releasing a 600-page biography of a living angel. I can't think of anyone else in the world I would do this for. I can't think of anyone else in the world who is inspiring and selfless enough. I know you get it. Now, I receive that, and it says something in the world welded me to who this man is to me. because that's the level of commitment I live from. And I've never experienced it from another human being. So
that
is the miracle that he has been in my world. He has communicated with me again and said, Steve, if at the end of this, you proofread this and you can change whatever you want. And if you don't want me to publish it, it's yours. I mean, who is that? Who is that human that is that way? Mm-hmm. And he's got his own business. Now, here's something I'd like you to know. He's 36. He's gorgeous. He's brilliant. And man, would I love to be responsible for him to meet someone of his caliber. And that will be very difficult. This guy mm-hmm. is in another orbit.
Mm-hmm.
So let me stop this tape over here. Alan, that's approximately what I would share with someone. Maybe more detail here or there, depending on who I'm talking to, but that's kind of it. I want to tell you how much I love you, Alan. I appreciate everything that you've done for me. And I'm sorry where in this communication, it isn't even sufficient to express my appreciation to you for your talent, for your genius, for your ability to write, for your ability to communicate, and for your ability to sacrifice to assist me. And like I said, I don't need a book. I don't need a biography. I don't need a biographer. But man, I've never had such a spiritual release in knowing that who I am and what I've done could actually impact some other people that I won't even know. So I thank you with all my heart. Have a good morning. I'll send this to you when I get time today. I love you.